This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's Off and Show. We're on the Team 980, always live as well on the free Odyssey app. Streaming live on YouTube at the Team 980 as well. And let you hear from Cliff Kingsbury. You'll hear from Joey Jr. coming up a little bit later in the show as well. We'll also hear from you as an hour from now. It'll be time for Never Read the Comments, the part of the show each week where we don't listen to our own advice and we read the comments. Cliff Kingsbury talked today, though, a little bit more about his offensive line. And they have been able to insulate this offensive line in a major way this year, in part because of the game flow. And I know that some folks in the comments section have talked about, oh, well, what do you mean they haven't had to overcome any challenges? They were down against this team and that team. They haven't been down in the second half where they have to chase a game. They have not. They've been able to control the flow of the game or be up in a way that running the football has stayed advantageous to them, where they can stay balanced. They can call the game exactly like they want, as opposed to, hey, we're down three touchdowns. We gotta scrap the run, and we just got to get big chunk plays. We got to find it. So that helps your offensive line a lot, staying out of drop back predictably, making sure that the screen game is available to you. So, hey, okay, we're starting to take on a little pressure. Let's just float Jaden back, loft the ball over their head to Austin Ekeler, and now we have a 40-yard gain. The draws, they've been incredible on those. Some of the counters and traps. So they've been able to use the run game anytime any team gets aggressive against them. So what happens if you have to drop back 40 times per game? How comfortable would Cliff be as a play caller? He was asked that directly today.
Yeah, I mean, you know my background, so we can drop back as much as we want and have fun doing it. But that's not what's best for us right now and who we are. So, yeah, I mean, he did it in college. He was in a shootout every week last year. But we're trying to be efficient and maximize who we are. And the guys have done a good job executing plays. But if we had to do that, yeah, it'd be fun to watch.
Fun to watch is one thing. Fun to execute and successful for the football team is another. I think the other part of that that Cliff doesn't touch on there but is worth mentioning as someone from the outside, as an objective observer, an analyst, is that also would be a very bad sign for the scoreboard because they're only doing that if they're down. And by the way, part of the reason the defense has been able to turn things around is because they have had better game flows. Part of their issue this year defensively is they cannot stop the run in the way that they need to consistently. They're actually in a very interesting place in the run. Solak mentioned this yesterday, and I went and double-checked the numbers, and of course he's right. I was just like, wow, I need to see how bad this is for myself. Like, yards per carry-wise, explosive runs-wise, bad. But they're also near the top of the league in stuff rate, aka like at or behind the line of scrimmage. I think it's runs minus or 1 yard or less, I think, is the stuff rule. But like, they will get you in second and 11, and then that's how they've been able to be better. Like, okay, we'll give up a 20 yarder, make a tackle, Quan Martin 30 yards down the field, or Jeremy Chin runs a guy out of bounds, and then they come back and on first and 10 they run it again, the other team does, and you stuff them, and now it's second and 11, and okay, we force a field goal. But what happens when, instead of in the second half, that not becoming an option, run after run after run, teams have to go drop back. All of a sudden, you can dial up some of the blitzes. You can play some of the softer coverage structures, get this defense where it's most comfortable. And so from an offensive standpoint, would it be kind of fun? Would Cliff be like, ah, this is familiar. Let's shoot out all day. Yes. Would Dan Quinn pull his hair out if he had any more hair? Yeah. That's not the game flow that they want to be in. This offensive line has thrived this year, not just because of the situations and how Cliff has managed that, but a lot of players playing well, including both guys at left tackle, Cornelius Lucas and Brandon Coleman. I think by now, most of us, certainly I, anticipated that Coleman would have just taken the job outright, but Lucas has played well enough that he deserves to keep playing. So why has that left tackle worked well for the team this year? Here's Kingsbury earlier this afternoon.
Both are playing at a high level. I've been really impressed with both their attitudes and how they've handled that. It's not always easy rotating. You know, you want to be out there and you want to get in your rhythm, but both guys have really embraced it and made each other better. And with Brandon missing some significant time in the preseason, I think it allowed him to grow and will continue to allow him to grow. But I think more than anything, just both guys playing at a high level has allowed us to continue that.
And I would say as a pass rusher, you want to get a rhythm. And so if as an offensive lineman, you can handle going in and out and it's not something where your rhythm gets messed up, and both these guys have handled that extremely well, there actually is an advantage to not giving a Myles Garrett, for instance, last week, the same guy every single week, because great pass rushers will, and Logan has talked about this because he's trained some pass rushers around the NFL and worked with guys. He also works with some offensive linemen as like a strength coach and position coach on an individual level. And one thing that both O-linemen and pass rushers have talked to him about is the great ones will set you up. The great ones will, you know, hey, all right, I'm going to eat this in the second quarter, but I'm going to keep trying to get around the edge, or I'm going to keep trying this inside move, knowing that in a big moment late in the game, I'm going to get my sack. And how many times have we seen the great players make plays like that? I mean, Aaron Donald had so many in his career key sack fumbles, and you're like, of course it's Aaron Donald right there. You know, at his absolute peak in Denver, guys like Von Miller. You just have this knack for making the big play, but it's more than a knack. It's more than a clutch gene. It's a setup where I'm going to keep going, keep going, keep going. And just when I've lulled you into that sense of security, boom, I hit the counter. I do it at the right time, sack, ball game. And if you're not facing the same offensive tackle, snap in, snap out, it's a lot harder to do that. So for right now, keep rolling with it. But when did Cliff realize that the offensive line was maybe better than advertised? It couldn't have been much worse than advertised publicly. I think a lot of people that watched it knew they weren't nearly as bad or weren't going to be as bad as they performed last year, as the production was last year. But when did Cliff, the guy in charge of it all, in charge of the offense, know that?
Yeah, I think just like I said before, just the way they kind of can figure things out on the run together, the communication they have and their ability to, even if we just walk something through and maybe don't get a live rep at it, they're able to go into the game. And if there's an adjustment to be made, they can make it in real time and hit it and nail it. And that's been really impressive. So I know it wasn't a really hyped group coming into the season, but the way they've just worked and continue to work and continue to kind of support each other has been really, really cool to see.
That I've heard that now from a couple of different people, from DQ, from Cliff. I think Jaden talked about it as well in his post game the other day. So many press conferences. How many times can we listen to these same guys talking to microphones? Says a guy who talks into a microphone 15 hours a week on the radio. The ability to just say, hey, like in the game, we can figure something we only walk through. Like that's a pretty special characteristic for guys to have that intelligence. And they've clearly valued that on that offensive line and in general, like both in athleticism and in intelligence to say, I might not have repped this a ton, but I understand the concept. And this is why those walkthroughs are so valuable, is because they can work that out in a walkthrough. They don't run it in practice, but they fundamentally understand why they're doing a certain thing. And then they can sort out the stuff in the game. And that's gotten even better throughout the year. And it just leaves you more options as an offense. And if you don't, like if for some reason you're like, how important is that really? I mean, it should be somewhat self-evident. Like, hey, more options to get it right is good. Obviously, you have to be able to execute them, which we just talked about why they can. But if you only have like two tools in the toolbox from a protection standpoint, you're very easy to manipulate. Your name is also the Cleveland Browns. And like last week, the ability for Joe Witt Jr. to call not the world's most complex blitzes. Some stuff they called was exotic and cool, but there's some pretty simple stuff they called that they were able to just say, hey, if we line up like this, we can have the entire line slide this way, and then we'll just bring the pressure from the other side, because they don't have the nuanced protection and they're not good at identifying blitzers. And thus, we can fool them whenever we want. And teams have not been fooling the Washington Commanders on a regular basis. And, you know, obviously if that happens a couple times a game, then you got a pretty good chance that Jaden can be alert to that and he can get out of it. If it's happening every snap, it becomes a lot harder for him to be the hero every single snap. And so that ability to get everybody organized on the same page, decipher who's coming, who's not, get the whether it's a full line slide, whether it's we're gonna man zone this, we're gonna have whatever combination of calls, we're gonna squeeze it, we're gonna add in a chip, we're gonna keep the back in, like we're gonna do whatever we do, we're gonna send the back out, and it's like we're not gonna pick this up, so let's get the back out in space, throw over the blitzers, and hope Austin Ekeler makes a play. They've done that sometimes. So between Jaden and this line, their ability to sort things out is mega, and one of the key guys for that is Tyler Biadasz. And that was a choice they made very, very specifically this offseason. They knew they wanted a veteran center to go with a rookie quarterback. So in a stadium in Baltimore, M&T Bank gets pretty loud. How important is it to have that guy who's been so good for them so far this season?
Yeah, I think you're going to have your challenges. But on the road, in that environment with the noise and with the tough scheme that they have, it's definitely going to be amplified with that. He and Jaden have really got a good relationship going and have built from week one, and I think that'll continue. But this is definitely a huge challenge with what they do schematically and then the noise factor.
They do a lot of funky stuff. They're not as complicated as they were last year on the back end. Some of their blitz stuff is pretty funky. If you want the full preview of the Baltimore defense, definitely got to check out Take Command. It's out now. Logan and I went into the tape of what Baltimore's done so far this year and how we think Washington will attack it. We'll give you a little bit of that tomorrow on the radio if you don't get a chance to listen to the podcast. You'll get more from Cliff and more from Joe Witt Jr. later on in the show during our pick six. Coming up at 5 o'clock, Dan Pizzuto from the 33rd team. Got lots to talk about, Commanders and otherwise, with him. Never read the comments, 5:30. Pick six at 6, aforementioned. And coming up next, I do have Anthony for you. An update on the competition Wednesday punishment. We have a verdict on when I'm gonna and how I'm going to do the ice bath because I lost.
Are you nervous?
Not really.
You're excited for it?
I wouldn't say that either.
Okay.
But we'll get into it next on the Team 980.